A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at an end. Her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made a plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. I answer, what shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower wilts, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. So then the people is the grass. Though the grass withers and the flower wilts, the word of our God stands forever. Go up onto a high mountain, Zion, herald of glad tidings. Cry out at the top of your voice, Jerusalem, herald of good news. Fear not to cry out and say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Here comes with power the Lord God, who rules by his strong arm. Here is his reward with him, his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lambs, carrying them in his bosom and leading the ewes with care. Verbum Domini. The Lord our God comes with power. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all you lands. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Announce his salvation day after day. Tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples his wondrous deeds. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. He governs the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the plains be joyful and all that is in them. Then let all the trees of the forest rejoice. They shall exult before the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He shall rule the world with justice and the peoples with his constancy.
Vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." Verbum Domini. There is an exciting new venture that EWTN is now fully engaged in called EWTN Next. And it's to bring our programming to the next generations who receive more and more of their content digitally. If you want to know more about that, you can go to next.ewtn.com or just search EWTN Next, and you'll see a web page there that discusses what our plans are for the future and fully engaged in bringing that about. And we have some of our employees who are involved in that here this morning, as well as some visitors from Iceland who are going to help us to realize that. So welcome here this morning. And please pray for this venture that we need to reach the future generations too, even as we continue to bring the program in traditional ways on cable and so on. We also need to look toward the future so that everyone can hear the gospel, that none would be lost. That's the Father's will. We heard Jesus say that not one of the little ones would be lost, that we can convey the gospel in contemporary ways to reach people in today's society and culture, a media-defined culture. I would also invite you to join Father Leonard and I, who produced a series on Our Lady of Guadalupe. So we were there last December, and we were there for the wonderful feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe last year. And so they've been editing that throughout this year, and now it's finally airing. And so it began yesterday and today, Wednesday, and then the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe at 9:30 Central Time, 10:30 Eastern Time. You can join Father Leonard and I on our trip to Guadalupe talking about the various aspects of that wonderful feast. And what a wonderful event that was to just see the joy and the delight that the people take and their humble devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. So again, 9:30 Central Time, 10:30 Eastern, today, tomorrow, and Thursday we'll complete this series. Now, you know that shepherds would sometimes stay out in the fields with their flocks. And we hear that right on the night of our Lord's birth. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks. And imagine that, just sleeping outside with your sheep, watching over them. Dozing off, I'm sure, probably taking turns sleeping, the different shepherds. And it would get chilly some of those nights, and they would look forward to the morning coming. And one of the first things that would alert them that it was near, in a time before clocks, is that they would see this beautiful, bright, glowing morning star rising in the east. And so when they saw that beautiful, bright, glowing star, they knew that very soon after that would finally be the sun that would give them some warmth, that would give them some light after the darkest part of the night. And so they would look forward to that. The morning star is here. That means that the sun is not far off. And you know, one of the titles of Our Lady in the Litany of Loreto is the morning star, the Stella Matutina. That today we celebrate the optional memorial that Pope Francis inscribed into the calendar, the Roman calendar, back in 2019. And this optional memorial is Our Lady of Loreto. And probably you're familiar with the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's the Litany of Loreto. So these were a litany of different titles of Our Lady, invoking her, asking for her prayers, especially at the shrine in Loreto. And people would visit that shrine because it was such a popular shrine for the Middle Ages that they would bring that litany to other places, the Litany of Loreto. You know, my dad told me that when he was growing up, and his heritage was from Luxembourg, that what they would do at the night, and there were 9 children in that family, is they would pray the rosary, and his father would pray, follow that from memory, the Litany of Loreto, the Litany of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Often people will do that. They'll put the two together. But this shrine is something that was a place of pilgrimage from the Middle Ages. Many popes have visited there, have honored it. There are saints and blesseds who visited there and found their vocations there. People have found healing there. One of the other invocations of the Litany of Loreto is Mary, help of the sick. And so people have found healing there. But people have found their vocations there. And one of the reasons is that this house is revered to be the place where the Annunciation took place, where Gabriel brings the message to Mary, and she responds, yes. In fact, our choir today at the offertory is going to be singing the carol, Gabriel's Message, which recounts that gospel that we heard yesterday on the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. And it's fitting, I think, when we think about now today talking about Our Lady of Loreto, that we think about the preparation for the Incarnation. That Mary, we say, is tota pulchra est. She is all beautiful. The original stain is not in her. Because she was to be the God-bearer. And Satan could have no reign whatsoever in the one who would become, another title in the Litany of Loreto, the Ark of the Covenant. Just as in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was a place of God's presence among his people. And the power of God overshadowed the Ark and the temple. So fittingly in Luke, we see this especially showing this connection that Mary is that one in which the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. She is the God-bearer. She's the new bearer of God's presence among his people. And so yesterday we remembered that truth, that she is the Stella Matutina. She is that bright and glowing, beautiful star. But she's not pointing to herself, but rather the rising sun who is coming, the one who brings warmth and light to all. And that's what the Loreto event that the church especially wants us to think about, the Incarnation taking place, to reflect on the angel's message, but then also Mary's response. And so Mary teaches us how to be perfect, more perfect disciples, how to hear God's message to us and to respond as Mary did. And I think it's a good way to begin your day, to repeat the words of Mary. I like to often begin the day to remind myself of who I am and what the purpose of my life is, to begin with Isaiah's words, chapter 6, "Here I am, send me." And then from Psalm 40, "Behold, I have come. I delight to do your will, O my God." And then to look at an image of Our Lady, just like a child will look at their mother to say, well, how am I supposed to do this or do that? To look at Mary and say with her, as she said to God's message, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And if we do that, then our life has its proper perspective. This is what we're about. And this brings us the greatest delight and joy and satisfaction in our lives. And Mary is one that teaches us that. Now we are continuing with our Advent readings, and we have the beautiful beginning, as it's been called, the Book of Consolation in Isaiah chapter 40. "Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." So there's a word of consolation now coming. Yes, they have been exiled. They've gone through so many trials. But now there's this message of comfort. "Give comfort to my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Her guilt is expiated. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed." The glory of this world is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower wilts. But the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Here is your God. Here comes with power the Lord God. And in a word that connects it to today's gospel, like a shepherd, he feeds his flock. In his arms, he gathers the lamb, carrying them where? Next to his bosom. Carrying him in his bosom, close to his heart. This is what Isaiah is prophesying that God is going to do. And yes, it would be fulfilled in that the people would be released from their captivity in Babylon to come back to be restored to their land. But there's a much greater message and fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd who holds us close to his heart. Like a shepherd, he feeds us his flock. And it's very fitting, isn't it, that at the Mass, we are fed physically, but also spiritually, fed through his word, fed as our mouths receive the Holy Eucharist, his very body, blood, his soul, and divinity, that he feeds his flock with his very self. In his arms, he's gathering us. He's carrying us close to his heart, in his bosom. And that is why so often the scriptures will exhort us to sing to the Lord a new song. When something new had happened, something new in salvation history, there was a new song that was to be sung. And so when the Israelites passed through the Red Sea and were freed from Pharaoh and his army, they sang a new song. And during the Advent season, apart from the solemnities that we may celebrate, we don't sing the Gloria on Sunday Mass as we normally do. That Gloria is a song of the angels. It was the new song when the shepherds were out in their field by night and an angel appeared to them. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. So this is the new song that we await to hear on the midnight Mass at Christmas or Christmas Day, to hear it sung anew. This is our song, the song that we have come to know the Lord Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd. And Mary is that stella matutina, the star of the morning, that beautiful and glowing star who always points to the one, her son, the son who brings light to the world, who warms our hearts by keeping us close to him, who feeds us as a good shepherd, and who has prepared for us eternal glory with Our Lady and all the saints forever. Amen.